Well, in March, I was asked by a friend of mine to come and to speak to a group of people called the Cafe Care in Clayton. Cafe Care is a group of people who have come from difficult backgrounds, had tough times, but the Lord touched them, their lives, and brought them to Himself. And as they follow the Lord, they have to grapple with a lot of previous issues. And so the pastors and the leaders there, they just love them so much and want to care for them and to bring the word of God and to walk with them. So my friend Bill Pontikis and Jeff Crotty, they are the leaders there. So in March, they asked me to come and speak, but to speak in July. But July was very far from March, isn't it? So busy doing a lot of other things, so it's hard to remember. But it was good that Bill texted me just 1 hour and a half before the meeting. And that was really good. So, I hope you are coming. And I said, and I was in Frankston, actually, with the family. And so, oh, yeah, just remember that. I said, oh, yeah, I'm coming, definitely. I texted him. So I had time, enough time. So I came back. I had to postpone everything and to come and speak to that group. And why they wanted me to come to speak to those people. So who am I? So I think in a small definition, I am, I would call myself an elder. Presbyterian Church call us elders. Maybe they call us teaching elders, like I teach the word of God. But also someone who sent the call of God to encourage God's people, not only to bring them to salvation, but also to encourage them to continue in their faith. That is one of the tasks of the leaders in the church. They are called to make sure that God's people are standing healthy in their faith and that they are going through all the challenges, not by themselves, but with the guidance and the help of the leaders that God himself appointed. And that is the task of the eldership of the shepherds. And that is why you will see the word will be coming really on them, reminding them of their calling, because it's God's heart to have people, His own people, to walk with His very own people. So God's heart for the congregations of God is these people. They know the blessings of their God. And then that is why He puts in their midst elders, leaders, who will be representing God among the people and also represent the people before God. That was the task of the prophets. They were doing that. When people are straying, they remind them that we will be judged by God. You will miss the blessings of God. And so as you do that, and then by doing that, He will just bring them back to God. And on the other hand, when God is angry with His own people, the prophets will just stand and just ask for His mercy for the people. We have seen Moses doing this. And that is why the eldership, is a technical word, but actually it's called shepherd. So that is the word that has been used in terms of the elders being the shepherd of God's people. And we see that it's going back to the Old Testament. It's an idea back in the Old Testament in Numbers 27, if I could remember from my mind. So 27 verses 15 to Moses said to the Lord, "May the Lord, the God of His spirit of all men, of all mankind, appoint a man over His community to go out and come in before them, one who will lead them out and bring them in, so the Lord's people will not be like sheep without a shepherd." So the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, son of Nun." So Joshua, when Moses was dying, so Joshua was appointed to be the leaders of God's people. So now I have said this, I think you have a clear understanding. That is for your sake, the elders are among you. Wow, you must be very special, huh? Yeah, it is. God's people are precious in His sight. And as I said earlier, so the the ministry among God's people is a task of the elders. So today, Apostle Peter is writing this text, and you need to remember he was writing to a suffering church, isn't it? A suffering church. A church that is suffering. Are you suffering? Do we feel the battle is hot? Alex was over. Where were you? New South Wales, Gold Coast, yeah. And then she was like trying to come back, and the whole internet system was down. I didn't feel it so much, maybe because I was not a businessman. Yeah. So that was a hurdle, isn't it? Suffering in many ways. Some of us are suffering because of sickness or opposition at workplace, challenges in the family, you're opposed as a Christian and not witnessing to the Lord, faced with the possibilities of going to jail if you are a pastor or an elder or preaching. So if you preach something that really certain groups would not like, so you are likely to go to jail for 10 years, maybe. So Peter was talking to people who have problems, but their problems and their sufferings were really amazing. They were already scattered in different places. That is what we read earlier. So this letter was written to God elect strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. So these people that were chosen by God and yes, scattered, they were facing persecution, real persecution. And now we have Apostle Peter writing to the elders, and then the context is saying, therefore, if you look at the first things, to the elders there. So maybe your translation is not saying that, but he said, therefore, elders among you, therefore. The word therefore is looking back to the suffering the church are facing. So you go back to chapter 4, verse 12, so you will come to see Apostle Peter saying, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trials or fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing. So these people were tested so much, and so they were tempted to give up and to persevere. To give up and not to persevere. But Apostle Peter was reminding them that, like, no, don't be surprised, beloved. So as though something is strange were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the suffering of Christ, you are suffering but have Christ in view. They were not suffering as sinners, that is what he says, but as Christians. And then he told them, as you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. And then he said, and he to go on to say, for the Spirit of glory will come upon you. The Spirit of Christ will come even upon you. Jesus himself is the example of suffering. So that is why he wants to encourage. So let me get to the bottom of the thing. So he says, this is how he wants them to encourage to be encouraged so that they can encourage the church. So he appealed to the elders. And for the sake of the people. And so, if you are suffering today, God wants to encourage you, by speaking to the elders. And now I want to turn to the elders. Elders as shepherds. We know that elders, they didn't call themselves, they were called by God. And it was the New Testament system, or the way they organized the themselves in a fallen world as a congregation of people with elders among them. So to encourage the people of God. So to the elders among you, I appeal. So he urged them. He himself as an elder himself. He himself as a shepherd. Peter himself, he knows this. So that is a comfort to the elder themselves. It says he identify himself with them, saying, "Me, Peter, myself, I am an elder like you." And so you need to be aware that you have been called to this task. So the task of walking among these people might be very difficult because leaders stand out. If there is anything to crush the flocks, to destroy the life of God's people, the leaders are the people to face the brunt of the oppositions. Even in terms of upholding the truth of God, they should be not running behind and leaving the congregation to do the task of defending the truth, or even to crying with them and praying with them, even if necessary to go with them to the grave. That is their task. That is a call. Jesus himself, the good shepherd, he called himself the good shepherd. He didn't just lead the people, but actually he led them all the way to the cross of Calvary, because that was where the fallen people were going to go. They were going to hell. But Jesus himself, he had to go first and face what was going to destroy God's people, sin. So Jesus had to go himself as a good shepherd. And so he died on the cross of Calvary. That is why he said, a good shepherd lay his life for the sheep. You see, and even when he was walking with them before his crucifixion, you see, he protected them. You see, he protected them. He was an example. That is why Apostle Peter would say, be an example. And then thinking of Jesus himself. Yeah, it's hard to be a leader, especially when things are very bad. Do you see that in the family as well, as a father? Sometimes things will be really very tough, and so you don't know what to do. And then you might be tempted just to find a quiet place and just sit and sneak out, or just like go for a drive. No. You stick to it. You see, just pray and do anything. You see, you are the leader. You are the head of the family. Yeah, so you are to do that. Exactly like that. You see, you can't push it to another person. You see, it is your responsibility. And so just another thing to say. I'm trying really not just like to do a sermon, because I just want to speak to you, really, practically. It might be too hard. It might be too hard for you as a shepherd. Yeah, it can be too hard, but that you have to face it. Because that is what is happening really here. The elders or the shepherds were finding it too difficult, you see, to stay with the people who have been persecuted because of Jesus. You see, why should I stay there? And so maybe you do something else. And so that is what happens always with people who are called into the ministry or to really full-time ministry and to lead God's people. Sometimes they say, oh, they want to go back to their first career. It's too hard. No opportunities. Maybe it's not comfortable. Not enough money. Not just a lot of work and difficult congregation. Maybe sometimes people who are just maybe persecuting you, opposing you and not respecting you maybe. And you may think like, oh, well, I need to go back to drive my bus or to go back to be a school teacher. I was a science teacher. You see, sometimes I tell you, sometimes you think like that. So it's just too much. It's too much. So I just want to go back and have just like a nice life, work. Just don't have to be taken to jail for any reason. Yeah, but actually, Peter urges the elders, because he himself, he witnessed that, and he himself, he suffered. He saw Jesus suffering, and he said, our suffering is not in vain. If we are faithful, we will be rewarded, because when Christ is revealed, we will have the crown that is due to those who have persevered and stayed with their congregations and admonished them and encouraged them, and so, and to speak to them and to speak to their life. And one thing I thought of, like, is, so why it is special? But look, it is a mystery, you know? It is a mystery that God would just minister to his own people through frail and weak leaders, you see? It is God's designs. So I was once there. And people really spoke words to my life and brought me out and gave me faith and encouraged me. I was down and people, leaders came and spoke to me. I was just left on my own, embraced me and put me into their programs, because leaders actually have resources, isn't it? They have resources. What are their resources? Leaders, they have resources. So see, we in the Presbyterian Church, we are not on our own, isn't it? You know, we have presbytery, we have the assembly. You see, we have men of God raised to lead us. You see, they are also praying and they are shepherd themselves. They want to do it, so they stay before God and they pray for the sake of the congregations. And so they use all the resources, all the money, you see. So you have been contributing money for centuries and decades, and some of them are managed, like to make sure that God's people are cared for. I just don't want to disclose to you that how much the Presbyterian Church have, how much money they have. You see, will that give you comfort? But actually, we need also to do the other works. And so it's a mystery that leaders have the resources. You see, they can pray with you. So I remember one day I was going to lead when I was starting to lead big congregation. So my first day to lead a revival, just not even to preach. It was a big thing for me to stand and before 800 people and just to lead the whole service. And so there I came to my mentor. I said, I'm going to go to the pulpit now and I start really the service. And he said to me, sit next to me. If I can use this illustration, Michael Jensen uses it a lot. So why not me? So I came and I sat next to him. And then this is my leader. And then he put his arm around my arm. And he prayed for me. He's in Canada now. And so he prayed for me. And then after that was what I did. And I came up here. And then I started to lead the congregation. And I was so empowered and so encouraged by that. And then it was just an amazing service. You see, so the leaders have resources. And that is why Apostle Peter was appealing to the people. He knows that they've been called by God. And so he was urging them, don't leave there. Don't leave the flock. Stay with them in their sufferings and their troubles. Be with them. Pray with them. Appeal to them. Cry with them. Admonish them. Warn them of the danger of entertaining unbelief or deserting the Lord, not rejoicing in your sufferings, not being kind and generous, not being self-centered. So yeah, remind them of all that Christ wants you to be. So he said to them, be a shepherd. Just be the one God wants you to be. So I will be very quick. Be the shepherd of your own people, and not because you have to do that. Not under compulsions. That's the first things he mentioned to them. Not under compulsions, because if you do it under compulsions, they will not feel your love. They will not know that you do love them. They will not know that you love the Lord himself. They wouldn't see the anointing of God on your life. You see, they wouldn't see the willingness. That is a task that you have been tasked with. And you gave yourself voluntarily. You give yourself because you send the call of God. You send the dignity of Jesus Christ and the need for him to be glorified. And God to take all the glory and all this. So he says to them, be the shepherd. Be the one God wants. Be the shepherd of God's flock. Remember, these people are not somebody else. Are God's people. They belong to God. And God wants to reveal his glory in his own people. He wants to look after them. He wants them to stand out, to be the light of the world, to shine. He wants them to permeate all societies with the truth of God, that there is one God and there is one Lord. And you are to repent of your sins and turn to him. So be the shepherd of God's people. Be the ones he wants you to be. Under your care. You see, under your care. Wow, this is just a huge thing, isn't it? To have people under your care. And you see, we have new members already being they have been assigned an elder to look after them and to pray with them and to pray with them and to really work with them. And that is what my previous elders did for me. And so these people, God will care for through you. God is using frail men and women really to bless his own people. So he said to them, look, do this. Because persecution is ripe and life-threatening situations are there. So the feeling might be that it is too hard for you to do this, but go for it. Do it. And especially this one who might be facing trouble. So do this. And then he went on to tell them, like, do this, be the shepherd of God's people that is under your care. Serve as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. God will never force someone to serve him. He doesn't do that. He reveals his love to you. He calls you. And you know it personally. The amounts of zeal he put on your heart for him. And so that is what he wants. He wants you, if you have been blessed, and if you know that, I will not leave myself without a witness. And you are one of my witnesses. That is what Peter says there. So a witness of Christ's suffering. So Jesus didn't leave himself without witnesses who have seen it happening before them, the love with which he loved his own people to the point of going there. So he said here, do this as a willing person, because in that way you will bear my fruit and your own people will be blessed. So do this as God would want you to be. And so that is the thing. If that is not what is governing an elder, and so I can assure you that the elder will have his own programs, his own attitude, his own understanding of how to do the ministry. But if he follows his Lord, so he will be able to do this as the Lord himself would want him to do this. And you need to know that even though the Bible says a worker deserves his wages, Galatians 6:6, but he also wants them not just only to look to the wages, not for gainful, not for greed, not greedy for money. You see, it is easy. A person can, a shepherd can stay on the job because maybe this is where his income is coming from. If that is the only thing for which you serve, and then you are not serving according to God's will. Because all of you know, I've been in this country for 24 years, and I was in Cairo. The Lord touched me as a young man, just finished university, and there were a lot of young people from South Sudan who were serving, and they were just working and supporting themselves. But they sent the call of God, and actually they were winning souls. They were encouraging Christians, but they were not receiving salaries. There were no one to pay them. You see, can you serve God without being paid? And I said to people, my downfall was the first day in this country when I received my first check as a pastor or as a preacher. It's only in this country that I receive a but I had a great ministry, a successful ministry, because I was not doing it because I was being paid, but I was doing it because I sent the call of God. And the call of God I sense was from Isaiah 62. One day I was just reading in Cairo, Isaiah 62. As I was reading Isaiah 62, for Zion's sake I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet till her righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch, and the Holy Spirit just came powerful upon me, and I was just in tears. And then I pick up my Bible and I run down, because the voice of the prophets here was like my voice. I took the place of the prophet himself. And I started really to have that burden of the church of God, of the message of the gospel, to reach many as possible. And that became the very thing I was doing. And when I was here for all these years, and it was very difficult, English was not my first language, was not my second language. You see, so to go through the theological training was a tough thing. And so I was tempted just really to give it up altogether. But God was so good, because as I was doing my master's of education at Monash, you see, I met a man who came from Kenya. He was a European guy. He was coming out to train as a priest in the Catholic Church. And he was faced with a man of opposition. So opposition is not always because of your color, but even your culture, where you are coming from. He was a European guy, maybe a Dutch background. You see, he spoke English fluently, and yet he couldn't go through. And so he gave his back to the Lord, and you see, and he went into humanities, and he was doing his PhD. And so when I was listening to his history, and then I went away, and I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give my back. So I persevered, and I went through the training. It was tough, so forth. But because I sent the call of God, you see, and it had money, certainly was not an issue. And I pray also it won't be an issue to anyone who is hearing me today. Not only our elders here, shepherds who are here, but even those who might be listening online, or those who will even like Google it if there is anything in it. So they were asked not to be greedy, because here is not the time for greed. It's not the time for money. It's a time to stand firm, because the church is going through hard times. The people are scattered, are facing opposition. And so the leaders, they are just to look to the call of God in their lives, but not only to what they get from this ministry. And then also, it is possible, if you are not seeing this, it has been the case in many places. And also, even as I speak now, you go to Africa and other places, and so you find elders who are loading it over those entrusted to them. They load it over, like domineering, that is the word. So it's a reference to a harsh treatment of God's people, ruthless. As you look to the Roman leaders, they were just like ruling these people. They invaded them, and so they were ruling them. They were their shepherd. They were their leaders, you see. So Apostle Peter is saying, we are not to be like Roman leaders, but we are God's people. We are called to lead his own people. So the admonition is that they should not mistreat God's people, should not use their positions as to impose things on them, but actually to see God's minds, how they look after these people. So taking the example of the Lord Jesus himself, who didn't come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom on the cross of Calvary. That is the example. That is why he says, as a witness of Christ. And so Peter is appealing to these shepherds, telling them, like, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Though he was the master, he was the Lord himself. You see, so who the one who can calm the sea, the one who can cast out demons, the one who no one can stand before him in his arguments. You see, they couldn't find any fault in him. You see, and yet he didn't boast about that. So he was humbled. If Judas Iscariot had to kiss him to be identified, he was not obvious. He was not the great in his appearance, but obviously the whole divine is in him. He's the divine Son of God. And yet he didn't domineer on these people. He didn't lord it over his own people, but he served them. He gave himself an example, and then the elders are called to look to Jesus, to be their example. Yeah, you see these things? You are willing, you are eager to serve, you are willing, you are eager to serve, and being an example to the flock. And now he says to them, as you do this, and it's something really neglected in the modern church. We don't serve looking to Jesus, looking to the rewards that are not in this world. Unfortunately, many of us who are leaders in the Church of Jesus Christ in our days today, we want to have our share here and now. We want to have our share here and now. And some even put burdens on their congregations to buy them this and to buy this and to do this and do this, and they have to live in certain ways. And actually, I tell you this, even in this country, so a few months ago, I saw a man, a leader in a church, who was taking services of funeral. So other people are carrying an umbrella, and they were carrying his Bibles and everything. Even some people are carried to the church. Some leaders are carried to the church in certain circles. It's just, how about that? You see, being carried, he says, the prophet, so the elder, the apostle, the great pastor. You see, people just serving, just coming and cleaning the chair first before they could sit. You see, just like that. So no. Apostle Peter is saying, do this in the light of what is going to be revealed. So you will be rewarded there, because now again, it's appealing to these people to look to Jesus. And he said, win the sheep. And Jesus Christ himself is called to be the chief shepherd, sheep of the shepherds. And when the chief shepherd appears, when he appears, you, those who have been faithful in serving God's people and encouraging them, you see, who were not greedy, who were not lording it over the people, we're not looking to the gains of this world, to the pleasure of this world. No, looking to the appearance of Jesus Christ, you will receive the crown of glory. You will receive the crown of glory. You need to know this, that the people of God will come to Jesus together when Jesus appears on that day. They will have all the glory that Christ has. So we will all be caught up with that. And the reward that will be given to elders who have prepared these people to wait for the return of Christ, they will receive the crown of glory. That is what is here. The crown that is given to people who have persevered under persecutions and hardship, who are not looking to their own interests, but looking to the interests of God's people. So when they rejoice, when they sing, when they have faith, when they are happy, when they are serving the Lord, when they are witnessing to their neighbors, when they are taking the gospel to the end of the world, you see, so these are the people, and they will receive really reward that will never fade away. The things of this world will fade away, but the gift of God will never fade away. So let us work for what does not fade away. Let us work for what is to be revealed. But now we need to walk together with our people, with our congregations, the people God has put us in their midst. So we are to love them. We are to encourage them not to fail, but to look to Jesus, even if it is hard. So it is better to be faithful to the end, even if what you long for is not given to you now. You need to remember, even all of us as Christians, we are to look to the coming of Christ. Things may not be nice with us here. It doesn't matter. They don't have to be nice, because we have the nicest of all. We have Christ himself in us. Christ is sufficient. Christ is my portion in the land of the living. You should say that, like with David. When he appears, he will give all that you need. And Peter himself here is looking to that himself. And that is why he is encouraging the elders. Because he himself is not getting to get anything. He's going to be crucified, isn't it? He's going to be killed. You see, how about that? So we don't know what is waiting for us. And Apostle Paul himself, he says this. And I want to finish with this. In his address to the elders at Miletus. And so in Acts 17, verse 20, Act 20, 17, I guess. So he appealed to them and he told them that I'm going away and things are going to be tough. I'm going away and things are going to be tough with God's people. That is what Paul is saying. He was speaking to the elders and he was telling them that he is going to face a lot of challenges. He's going to face a lot of challenges. This is what he's saying. we went on ahead from Miletus. Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears. Although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews," he was suffering. "You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that their prisons and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. He's going to die. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God or the whole counsel of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flocks of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherd of the church of God. So that was the message Apostle Paul was giving the elders at that place. And Peter, so this is the apostolic gospel, isn't it? So this is in the hearts of the apostles, the men who saw Jesus, the men who received the call from God, who received the call from Jesus himself. And so this is their heart, and that is the hearts of, that should be the heart of every leader in our day to day. So to shepherd. And so myself, I do go to missions a lot. The Lord may call me to mission next year or maybe, and I may not preach this sermon to you again. And if I go, many of you are here may not see my face again, you see, for any reason that the Lord knows. But I want to say that I have not kept anything that I didn't declare to you, because I love you. I want you to stand firm in the faith of the gospel and to take part in what God is doing and reaching out to the lost. And so shepherd, be the shepherd of God's people. Christ is looking to you, and even in your struggles and your suffering, look to Jesus. Don't fall down. That is why when we were praying as leaders before the church, we say to ourselves, if we fall, where will our people go? Where will our people go? We are to persevere in the sufferings and in the testing that we are facing. Let us cry out to the Lord to give life and to give us deliverance, and so that we can come and encourage our people to hold fast to the faith of the gospel and to persevere in sufferings and to be blessed, because God has not left you alone. Christ is in your midst, and he is urging those whom he has called to lead you, not to give up, but to walk with you and to pray with you. Maybe pastoral ministry in our days today also is falling apart, because maybe our congregation are busy. They are not aware that they are called to be looked after and to be really reminded that you are God's people. You are not to give glory to anyone else. You are not to espouse to wrong thoughts and to go astray and to live a life that is not worthy of Christ. That is a task of the elders. And then to remind you and to say, if you have professed Christ to be your Lord, honor him and in your body, in your minds, and in your lives, in your money, in every way you can. You see, possible way. So that is the thing. It is for your blessings, and you have to take this seriously. You have to call your elders. If you have to pray, give times. Like I heard this morning, I prioritize men fellowship. That was an amazing thing. To prioritize, to be built up by the Lord himself, and to take lead yourself. Who knows? Maybe the Lord is calling you to lead and to do the battles, you see. Not a shilling, you see. Yeah. Back in South Sudan, churches, sometimes you don't have walls. You have like roofs. And one day as a young boy in Sunday school, you were sitting in the church and an African buffalo was just running. You see, and people were praying like this, you see. So just imagine if the leaders just started to run away. You see, no. They were calm and they were trying to guide. And said, that is a leadership. Yeah. So you are in God's hearts as a congregation. And this message, this address to the elders is for your blessings. The elders among you, be shepherd of God's people. Let me pray.